League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Joan Peters is a PhD and a writer. She's a professor emeritus of literature and writing. Her newest book is Untangling, a memoir of psychoanalysis. Welcome to the show, Joan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and what motivated you to write the book.
Well, I can start very personally by saying what motivated me originally to go into psychoanalysis. I was 27. Long time ago, for my first analysis. And I was driven there by this recurrent nightmare over and over and over. And it seemed to have nothing to do with my life. Nobody ever hurt me. Nobody ever, you know, threatened me. And yet there are these killers after me, you know, twice and three times a week. And finally, my lover at the time said, you know, you're waking everybody up, the dogs, everybody, you got to do something. And that's what drove me to psychoanalysis. I didn't even know that it was something you could, you know, problem solve about. I just accepted it. I also had restless legs. So there's a lot of night anguish going on, although I didn't know to look at it that way. And I started with this psychologist. I just thought I was going to therapy. But she turned out to be a psychoanalyst who was starting out in her career. And it was okay if I paid $25 a session and we worked it out. And she was able to, in a matter of months, solve the mystery of these dreams. And when that happened, an entire part of my past opened up that I was not aware of. She sent me to interview my mother and to interview my brother and different people. And it turned out that I had lots of reason to be a very frightened person. Although in my everyday life, I was fine, but it was at night where I stored up all this information that didn't make it to my consciousness. It was in my unconscious. And it had to do with my father dying when I was 2 years old and he wasted away and it was terribly frightening and we were very poor and my mother was terribly stressed and when he died, she had to in 1 week go and get a full-time job somewhere. So there was a lot of trauma in my early life. And when it's down there, we often, hold it. We hold it in different parts of ourselves. I held it at night in sleep. Other people hold it in, you know, gastric problems or in constant problems, let's say at work, or maybe they're somatically have somatic symptoms, but maybe they have patterns of behavior that make no sense to them and don't seem to be helpful. So that's what got me started. And I really began to see the incredible helpfulness of this way of thinking, this investigation down into your past. And I think a lot of people have very little idea what psychoanalysis is or what it does. It's this small little world of people who can go for years to therapy. But there's so much that I learned that you can take out of it and apply it to your everyday life and to share with people who may never go to psychoanalysis or who may not know very much more about it. But I really felt that there was a missed opportunity, that there are so many people suffering you know, the famous Thoreau quote, the mass of men live lives of quiet desperation. And I just felt that I felt a mission to share what I learned, what I had the privilege to learn, because I had the time and the energy and the motivation. I really had to sleep better than I was sleeping. But this went on, and it was immensely useful and successful. And I came out of it transformed. I mean, I had so much more to my life than I had had before. But then these, as I was ready for retiring, I was just about, that's another very big stress point. And I felt the need to go back into psychoanalysis. And that's when I really dug much, much deeper and was able to address anxieties that I had just brought with me into my life, followed me around, those anxieties and depressions that many, many people feel, I think.
Well, that's an incredible story. So you were able to, what term do you use about the dreams? Were you able to cure yourself, stop having them?
Well, the dream, I mean, it was quite dramatic to me. I learned from my mother and my brother and so on and so forth. The dream, it always involved people chasing me. They could be men, women, it doesn't matter, a couple of people chasing me. And I'm a good fighter and I was going to fight them. But they had a needle filled with some injection chemical that was going to take my power away.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was the odd, you know, little detail. It's always in the detail. The devil's in the details. And little by little, my therapist sent me to talk to my mother, and she began to tell me the story for the first time in my life about this man who died who we never spoke of. She married a new guy. We went and had a new life. Never spoke of these things again. Moved from the apartment where he died. And there I am, and I'm asking her about everything, and she begins to tell me, you don't know what I went through. He was so sick, I had to give him morphine injections. Mm. And she would prepare them in our little kitchen, and I was probably in a high chair sitting next to her. And there they were, the injections. And my therapist explained that even though my mother said, you didn't know anything, you were children, my brother and myself, you know, children don't understand anything, what's going on. Well, not true. They do understand. They make up their own understanding because they do see. And I saw my father waste away to 70 pounds. And I saw him in a morphine delirium. And I saw my mother carry these needles into the room where she injected him. And my therapist suggested that I, in my little two-year-old mind, nobody was explaining anything. I assumed that she was giving him injections that were killing him, and she would do it to me too. And lo and behold, I even said to my therapist, that's a ridiculous story. My mother was feeding us and clothing us. Why would I think she was going to kill us? And
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Guess what happened? The dream disappeared. The nightmare went. Obviously, in my little two-year-old mind, I was in danger. And that danger, because I had never, nobody talked to me about it. I had never acknowledged it. I didn't understand anything about it. I also didn't know anything about this man who was my father. Right. So I needed a lot of information. And I think a lot of people need a lot of information about their lives. I mean, maybe it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be big and dramatic. I mean, my mother married another man. He was lovely. We had a pleasant little family. But this secret permeated everything. This topic that we could never speak of. And I think there are a lot of secrets in a lot of families, things that you kind of know, let's not talk about that. Mom gets upset if we go there. And I think that those are the things that take hold in the psyche, in the unconscious, and can really manifest in, you know, symptomatic, something, you know, headaches, whatever it is, insomnia or depression, anxiety, and it doesn't make sense to you. You know, like, here I have this nice life, and why am I so anxious? Why am I so depressed? Why do I get depressed? Why did that depress me? You know, little things. And I think psychoanalytic thinking has so much to offer. So, I mean, it can be the dumbest stuff. Like, just a month ago, my husband and I were about to get a rescue dog, and we had already bonded with his picture. You know, we had fallen in love with him, and oh boy, you know, we were going to bring him home, and it was just so. And during the week we were waiting to go and get him, they changed their minds and said we couldn't have the dog. Hmm. I don't know, you know, whatever it was for them, who knows, but I went into a tailspin about it. Now, this is not, I'm really not trying to say this was a big deal, but I was way too overreactive. I was suddenly miserable and bleak, and I was kind of getting depressed. And my husband was saying, you know, come on, there are a million orphan dogs out there. We'll find another. And I was able to sit with it and think about it and let myself not just dismiss it as being ridiculous, because it clearly was taking hold in some way. And I was able to go back to, again, that early period of my life when my mother really was not available because she was going through what she was going through. And I was very alone. And there was this one image that I would return to of myself at 4 years old, going to knock on the door and play with a little girl who lived downstairs in our apartment building. And she had invited me to come. And then when I got there, she and another little girl were just laughing behind the door and wouldn't let me come in and play. Now, this sounds minor. Of course it's minor. But because it's a memory that stays with you, even if you can't figure out its significance, psychoanalytic thinking suggests it is significant. And in my life, what it signified was there was no mother at home to make it better. I didn't have anybody to pat me or sit on their lap and help me to understand what might have happened and divert me into some other play. And I was it. So what it It what it, why it was important is that it stood for a whole way of feeling in my childhood. And that one rejection by these people, particularly because it had that pattern of being invited and then rejected, just walloped me and took me back to that moment. Now, this is such a simple thing. You can see how easy it is to get out of it. But it's that psychoanalytic thinking that you can apply, I learned, to all the things during your day, your week, your month that catch you in some way. And that you find yourself just trying to run away from, press away from. You don't really care that the guy you were meeting for lunch told you at the last minute he couldn't come, didn't even, you know, give you some time to think. You know, whatever it is, some little things that catch us. If you take them more seriously and kind of let yourself sink into them and think them through, they usually bring up a whole level of meaning. But what that requires is that you face your fears and angers and vulnerabilities. So instead of saying it doesn't matter to you that your friend didn't show up for the second time or whatever, to really see that you're hurt, you're angry, whatever the feeling is, it's usually some sort of vulnerability that you don't like to think about. Who does? But that's the key. That's the door that you can open. And it just lets out. It brings up all of the stuff that we suppress and often don't put language to, don't really share with anyone. And it's like a repetition of a childhood where there were things you just didn't talk about. You know, I think we've all learned that often our parents handle stuff that's really hard by toughening up. And maybe we've learned that too. And this is the opposite. This is saying, let's talk about it. Let me think about it first. Let me find out who I can share this with. I mean, for me, it was easy because my brother and I found each other and began, I mean, both of us retired, began to talk for not the first time in our lives, but really dug deep into what had happened to us in our childhood and how we did very different things with those difficult realities for us. I mean, he was 7 years old, I was two, so it was very different. But we had so much to share, and for the first time, and it's like suddenly it let the ghosts out. You know, they could go back to where they came from. They were no longer lying in wait for us. There were no longer these scary things that we were never supposed to talk about, even though a couple of times we cried over it, you know, just acknowledging what a big deal it was for us as children. And I think that's true for everyone. I mean, so often we have siblings who we don't talk about these things with because, you know, we have a lovely relationship, everything's fine, we get together, we have a good time. But if you hold these anguish ideas and feelings yourself, they don't become acceptable.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's only really when you give language to them and talk about them. And we're used to only talking with our therapist. But here's my big question. What are we hiding? Why are we only talking with our therapists about it? Why aren't we talking to one another? What are we so ashamed of? Because what's down in there are just our human feelings. You know, we're scared, even if it doesn't make sense to be scared at something. We're in a fury, you know, in a kind of silent rage. If you really can look at it and break it down and go back to the origin of those feelings. When did I first notice I was such an angry person? Where did that come up? Why? What did it feel like as a child? How did somebody teach you how to handle anger or not? So I think, again, there's so much that we can do on our own with a kind of self-analysis, that which is actually the way Freud started himself. I really wanted to write this book to encourage people to look at that and to share with them these tools, these ways of thinking that changed my life for the better.
Well, I commend you for it, and I appreciate it. There is a lot that keeps us from wanting to face our fears and to have uncomfortable and potentially difficult conversations and to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
So that seems pretty straightforward to me, why we don't do it.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to me that our conscious minds are able to not think about this stuff at all. But for 25 years, you're having these horrible nightmares of some people chasing you around trying to inject you. Yeah. So that's the evidence that there's some unresolved trauma going on here.
Oh, yeah.
And so for people who are listening, if it's clearly you have some kind of a recurring nightmare or you keep catching yourself doing certain things, that's all evidence that there's something going on, maybe from when you were a kid or something that you're trying to just avoid.
Yeah. And, you know, you kind of feel it. You know when you're overreacting or when something, you know, something's not right. And again, let me just say, trauma does not have to be being locked in the basement and beaten by an alcoholic parent. I mean, it can be simply not getting the nurturing that children need. It can be not being understood, having a parent who thinks in completely different ways from you, doesn't appreciate who you are and how you're made. And that can be, you know, that can be it. For my mother, she thought she was saving my brother and me from difficulties that were, in her view, what adults deal with, not children. But hey, you know, if children are there and it's happening, they are very aware. And how we feel, how we do these things and feel them. I mean, I used to have just these intense conflicts with my daughter, particularly when she was a teenager. Well, who doesn't? But what I found was some element where I would just do anything. There was some desperation about making sure she everything was going to be all right. You know, so I wouldn't hold my ground, stand my ground and do the discipline her, let's say, in the way I really knew was a better thing. And finally, I mean, it took me a while to make myself think about it enough. You know, why am I not doing this? What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? And it came out. I was afraid she wouldn't love me anymore, which is absurd. You know, children love, I'm a good mother, and children love their parents. But that somehow I would do one wrong thing and my daughter would be gone. I was just going to actually make a Freudian slip and say, and my mother would be gone. Mm. Because that's what I began to see was the model for this. Even though it was my daughter, it was actually the fear always that I had as a child that my mother, if I did something wrong, she would disappear. Because she did kind of disappear in my life. One day she had to go back to work and it was, let's say, a 9-hour work day or 8 hours, but commute. And suddenly I wasn't seeing her every day in the way that I had. And I think in my, you know, little 2-year-old mind, I assumed I had done something wrong. And I think we can figure a lot of stuff out on our own. If we're willing, I had to be willing to face my fear that she, my daughter, wouldn't love me anymore, which is pretty, you know, pathetic. But I, you know, it doesn't fit my image of myself. But it was there. And I think we can all do that. We can also help each other do it. You know, if I had, I could sit down with my husband and talk about it. He can see things that I couldn't see because it's not him.
Right.
So, and vice versa, you know. So I think we help each other if we can be vulnerable and not be so afraid of our inner selves. This is sort of like an owner's manual for your psyche.
I think that that's really well said. And I see benefits to, I see this as certainly if you are experiencing some kind of recurring nightmare, certainly nothing but a positive thing. But I also see it as hygiene, as trying to explore and get to know myself better and say, you know what? I was really, really mad at that guy in traffic today.
That's
kind of weird. I wonder if there's a string there that I can pull and kind of trace it back. What do you say to people who say, you know what, I'm nobody special. And there's probably people that need way more help than I do. Who am I to engage in this kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, my motivation and anybody's, and by the way, you don't have to have recurring nightmares. That's pretty dramatic. I mean, I assume we're talking about much more ordinary.
Totally.
Are you somebody who's so anxious or who can get depressed or just feels numb and like you're not living your life fully? Well, that's motivation enough. Nobody's just an ordinary person, or we're all ordinary people. Why not explore the most interesting thing in the world, you know, our minds? Why not get in there and see what's going on? And especially if there's a benefit, like being at ease. Imagine just being at ease in the world. You know, not that everybody is always at ease. You know, you walk into a large party and you go, oh, God, whose name am I going to forget? What am I going to do?
Well, that's easy. I'm going to forget everybody's name. John.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I think we all have anxieties we'd like to live without. And sometimes they're really keeping us from everything that's there for us to enjoy, I think.
Well, I think that that's really well said. I think that we human beings like to go explore and want to get down to the bottom of the ocean to see what's down there, when in fact, the undiscovered country is right between our ears.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of work to be done. In fact, I believe this to be the work. I believe that an unexamined life is not worth living. And to your point earlier, that most of us lead lives of quiet desperation. So why not have the courage to look inside, and why not consider psychoanalysis as a tool for helping us to better understand ourselves?
Right. And there are real resources too. I mean, you know, people who are training, like my therapist was training to be an analyst, and you can go to the institutes where they train people and get some psychoanalytic help for, you know, a fee that is affordable. It's out there. And I think a lot of therapists are trained to think psychoanalytically. So, you know, you don't have to be alone in it either if you have a particularly gnarly problem.
I love it. Well, Joan, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? And more importantly, or not more importantly, and also where can they get their copy of Untangling, a Memoir of Psychoanalysis?
So Untangling, a Memoir of Psychoanalysis seems to have sold out on Amazon, but it's on Barnes & Noble's, and Amazon says they'll be restocking soon. So you can get it on Barnes & Noble's, Goodreads, Amazon. And my website has lots of other information, and that's untanglingjoan, my name, .com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Joan your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Learn more about Joan at untanglingjoan.com and pick up your copy of Untangling, a Memoir of Psychoanalysis, wherever you buy books. I will make all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Joan.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.